Blog Talk Radio.
You really don't understand, do you? Hey, man, don't you realize in order for us to make this thing work, man, we've got to get rid of the pimps and the pushers and the prostitutes and then start all over again clean.
Look, nobody's pushing me anyway, okay? I mean, not you, not the cops, nobody, man. I mean, you want to get rid of the pushes, I'll help you. But don't send your people after me.
Come on, John. Can't you see that we can't get rid of one without getting rid of the other? We got to come down on both of them at the same time in order for this whole thing to work for the people.
Hey, look, nobody's closing me out of my business.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome, family. Welcome to another edition of Making a Connection. Bobby, your humble host, Soke Hassan Khalik, along with my co-host. Each and every Friday, we bring you Making the Connection. I hope I'm coming through loud and clear. I'm sort of in transit right now, but always making to my destination, which is here every 8 p.m. on each Friday. I'm not sure where you're listening in from, but your listenership is well appreciated. Without any further ado, I'm going to bring in my co-host, who always beats me here, but that's a good thing. That'd be Hanshi Salim al-Rashid. Hanshi, are you there?
Jumbo Soke, yes, I am. How are you, sir?
Yes, sir, brother. Appreciate you being on the mount. I know sometimes it get kind of difficult for us here, but difficult ain't a word that we know how to spell. Even though it got a bunch of letters in it, we don't really care how it's spelled.
Absolutely.
Because we ain't using that at all. AIO is the way to adapt,
that's right,
revise, and overcome. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. We're down here in the fourth month of this year, man. You know, I'm counting them like that because this one, we're halfway through. We're in the teens already in the month of March, and we're about to come up on about maybe 14 more days, and that's a wrap. We'll be into April. April is kind of exciting for us here. We at the family of Sanukis is about to throw our annual seminar that we do on April 27th. We've been down for a while. COVID took us out of the seat there for 2 years. But just as a public announcement, we're letting you know that we are back. We're back. You can find us online. We're doing advertising on Facebook as well as a couple other social medias. We're going to be at Restoration Plaza in Brooklyn, New York. If you just put in Restoration Plaza, the address will come up. I think it's 1368. But as I said before, it's only one, so you can find us that way. Or reach out to me at soke318 at AOL, and I'll get you that information that you need to be there. Hopefully you'll be in the space. A lot of Sanukis players will be there, a lot of Sanukis masters. And as usual, we're saying in honor of Supreme Grandmaster Dr. Moses Powell. So hopefully you'll be there and help us do what we do each and every year, as so many people do in different schools. Honoring somebody is something that I've always said, and you heard me say it many times before, Hanshi, that nobody should have to give you permission to honor those who you love and recognize. So if you have any acknowledgement of this in regards to Supreme Grandmaster Dr. Moses Powell, we hope that you would move with us in that direction to help us solidify his name as being one of the greatest martial artists who brought us a lifetime of martial science and knowledge. So hopefully we'll see you out. Now, Dave, we'll be talking about it more up until then, but I just wanted to start our show out with that because it is about evolution. It is about moving. When we see things like this, this show has been on the air for close to 10 years now. Yeah. And it can't survive without support from people like yourselves. But again, that's part of evolution as well, because 10 years prior to that, there was no such thing as Making a Connection or Doc Radio. But nevertheless, we're still able to go on and celebrate his legacy in many ways. But your conversations here, as you call in, helps us to solidify what that recognition is about. We don't need nobody to give us permission. We are here and celebrating that. So without any further ado, we can get into our show tonight. You heard us talk about evolution and evolving in regards to Dr. Moses Powell. But it starts out with a phrase that I've heard my brother Salim al-Rashid say many and many times. And it started to stick in my head, and I guess it can have a lot of meanings on it because, you know, a lot of us, we get phrases from older people, and they walk around saying it, and next thing you know, we saying it. But,
yes, sir.
You know, and maybe the evolution of the meaning of it will change. But the title of our show today is called You Can't Remain Neutral on a Moving Train. Evolve. So, this is something I've heard you say for years, Hanshi, and I'm going to let you give our audience your definition of it and what it means. But I would hope that anybody listening in would always try to seek out their own meaning on some of these things, what it means to you. And maybe you can call in and let us know, when I said that, what did that invoke in you? You can't remain neutral on a moving train. Hanshi?
Yes, sir. You know, I heard that saying years ago, and it caught me. You know, sometimes, you know, just these phrases, just like you say, catches you. First and foremost, Asoke, I want to tell this listener audience that this is not a job for me, what I'm doing here on the airwaves. It's an honor to uphold the name of Dr. Moses Powell, and I'm grateful to be sitting here, you know, speaking his name. Check. And I'll go on with
that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes. When I say neutral train, can't remain a neutral on a moving train, to me, life is a train. You know, it's almost like a moving river or body of water. If you're buoyant, if you want to go with the flow, if you want to remain relevant, you know, because we know that anything that's stagnant is dead. So you either evolve with it, life, or you don't get on the train at all. You remain stagnant. When I say evolve, I mean, you know, in the way you think. You know, when I was thinking when I was 20 is not what I'm thinking now at this age. And as far as your training methods, I'm not telling anybody what to do, but I'll just say they should evolve. You know, what I learned when I was 15 years old has evolved. You know, you know, when you reach a certain age, that 12 o'clock kick for most people are not there no more. So you have to evolve your training methods, evolve your technique to suit your body or suit the circumstances. You know, like you always said, it's okay, warriors, we have a choice. And that choice is either to move with the mover or pay rent on the spot and get tagged. Now, when you evolve, to me, it's like letting things go that don't serve no purpose in your life. You know, and that could be just a broad statement. That could be people. That could be a job. Whatever. If it doesn't serve a purpose, then you must move on. You know, and there's always a struggle with growth. You know, you see a flower or a plant come up through the earth. It's a struggle. A baby chick coming out of a egg. It's a struggle. He's struggling to get there. Check.
Real interesting, your point of view on this. And again, it's just a quote. Who knows whoever made it up, what they were thinking. And again, your definition of it is important to us here. So if it means something to you, give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking. Our subject matter was written this way. You can't remain neutral on a moving train. Evolve. And so you could take a lot of key words out of that, and you can use the train as a metaphor, as Hanshi said earlier. The train can be life. Moving when he also mentioned in martial art, you know, some of us were able to do a 12 o'clock high kick, and now we may not be able to do it. So do you just stop kicking, or you don't do martial art no more? What do you do? How do you evolve and turn something into something else? But, you know, I'm in question of things evolving without losing its essence. So almost mm-hmm. you can't identify the original thing. And I think sometimes when you say evolve, you give people permission, or the statement gives people permission to go on and do something. This leaves out elements. And these elements are what makes up the original thing, you know. I don't know. Sometimes you think you can add some things to it to make it better. There was a time when our industry was making things out of iron, and we thought iron was it. Man, this is strong stuff. It's better than brick and mortar and stones and things we've been building with. But then, you know, rust came in there. Like, what are we going to do with this rust? Iron is good, but rust is inevitable with iron. Then they developed steel. Well, steel has been the ultimate thing up until now. So, again, the moving train. You know, if we're talking about building industry to this day, steel is it. But I just read an article not long ago where carbon fiber has been made to equal steel.
Yes, sir.
Lighter. But, again, what was the essence of this whole thing? Because carbon fiber is a bunch of sand as far as I'm concerned. The sand of compounded enough to be stronger than steel? Wow. Evolution, a beautiful thing. But I would never call carbon fiber steel. You see, when I was dealing with iron, when I was dealing with steel, I always knew that there was iron in there, you see. When I was dealing with steel, I knew that there was other components in there that was equal to the periodic chart that I can actually look at, metals this on this planet. When I look at carbon fiber, I'm looking at plastics. But could be made as hard as steel. I hope I didn't leave everybody too far from here, but I think that's what we're saying here. Our subject is, and now you know how she got me going. He be going around here with these old phrases all the time and making me scratch my head. But he brought this one up here for subject matter, and it's on you today. Call and let me know what you're thinking about it. We're saying you can't remain neutral on a moving train. Let's relate to martial art until we get somebody back in here. 646-716-6825. Hanshi, give me that. Let's take it back to the martial art realm until we hear somebody get their hand up to want to try to get in there. You see anybody back there want to talk to us first?
Yes, sir. We have GM Carl Matthews.
My brother, GM Carl. Put him through.
Good evening. Good evening, Uncle Hanshi. Uncle Cookie.
Good evening, brother.
Back in the saddle again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen,
I just missed you last Saturday. So
yeah, we missed you too, brother. We missed you too. So I'm glad you're here, man. Help me figure out this conundrum here. Your brother here, man, came in here, woke me up with this, talking about can't move, remain neutral on the moving train. I said, where are we going? We taking the train ride somewhere?
We can't remain neutral on a moving train.
Yeah.
I caught the last part of that you was talking about, and then you said, you know, how people can, you change, you can't throw, you know, front kick at a side kick at 6 o'clock now that, you know,
yes,
I'm almost 61 years old, but and my hips hurt a little bit. So, all
yes,
I can say is what we say at the end of the program, AIO.
AIO. Yes, sir. AIO. And so that would be the movement, though, right? I guess that's not remaining neutral. Just know that you got to adapt, improvise, and overcome. I can get that. I can get that. But give me an instance in martial art. It doesn't have to be the kicking part. It doesn't have to be sparring. But if you had to relate this to martial art, how would you pick this up, Jim?
I would say that, you know, I mean, not related to movement, but more of our way of thinking changes as time goes on as well.
Yes, sir.
You know.
Yes, sir.
I may act this way when I was 22 years old, and now I'm 60 years old, you know, some of the things I used to say or do, I don't do no more because I've learned from experience.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I think that that's the key word here, learning from our experiences to improve. Because if improvement is the mission, then of course there's going to be some evolution. There's going to be some changes. But I made a reference earlier about changing, but not even be able to recognize the source that you are evolving from. Well, what do you think about that? Is that cool? Hey, change is change, and, you know, some things need to be buried.
I guess some things that are subconscious that you change that sometimes you don't think about until after the fact, or you may not think about it at all. I could breathe when I bent down and tie my shoes, you know.
Yes, sir.
I think about it like now. I'm like, okay, I got to sit up a little bit, tie my shoes, because I'm cutting off my circulation. What we talked about before, that's positional asphyxiation on yourself.
Yeah, that definitely happens physically. But I was thinking more along the lines of, roll with me on this one here, okay? There was a time when people thought, oh, that boy looks just like you. Must be your son. They just walk up to you and say that. Because it was clear. That young man has all your features, look like you, shaped like you, whatever. But then you was walking with three kids. The other two ain't your son, so they don't look like you. So in martial art, we have a tendency. I know when I was coming up, there was a high popularity of schools that, for lack of a better word, and just stay with me on this, don't condemn me, but for lack of a better word, they created soldiers. And those soldiers look just like their instructor. They ain't have to have no gi on. They spoke the same way they were. And a matter of fact, the dojos was created in the sense of that kind of regiment. Everybody moved to counts. When we did katas together, everybody did their own count. When I used to go to tournaments, if you ki-ed at the wrong moment, the kata was wrong. That's how much it had to look like the original thing. If you didn't come back to the original position you started, you're out. We didn't even want to see Chinese katas in them days, and it's no disrespect to them. But in their world, you ain't supposed to be back in the same spot. I can remember countless number of times when people were doing Chinese katas, and they would always go, y'all got to move back. Y'all move back. Move back.
Right,
move back.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, move back. Move back. Well, where you going? What you about to do? An army going to come in here? But their katas said we got to use the whole floor. Wow, that's their standard. And none of them looked alike. So I said that about evolution. Evolution, if the mission is to improve, do we all have to look alike? And when we stop looking alike, does that make us something else other than what we chose to do? I think you understand where I'm going with this thing here. Sometimes it's cool to look alike, to be able to represent that thing that you represent. Sometimes when you look like that thing, people won't even ask you to do that thing because you look so much like it, you must be it. But when you don't look like it, you're challenged about what you look like, and you can know better than the next person. But evolution is moving on, and evolution happens in human beings all of the time. Now, I don't know, look at five families, and out of five families, how many of you think that all the kids look alike? We see that every day. Does that not make them part of that family because they don't look like their mother or father? 646-716-6825. I want to give everybody else a chance to get in here. Jim, we appreciate you always coming in here. Yeah, man. But I'm gonna let that one simmer on you for a minute here, because this thing about moving with the neutral and not being neutral on a moving train is going to come into another aspect of martial arts that I'm going to hit y'all with in just a minute. Do we have anybody else that wants to come on here, Haji?
No, sir.
Okay. Remember, if you press call that number and press the number one, we get you in the queue. We appreciate you calling in just to be able to listen on from your device and coming to us each and every Friday or whenever you can. We appreciate that. Let me bring it and keep it in martial art here for a second with something that everybody knows that's happening right now under our nose. 10, maybe I'll even go back 20 years ago. I'm not going to say there was no such thing as Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, because there was. But it was not by far as popular as it is now. But 20 years ago, I don't remember anything. I'm Jiu-Jitsu, I do. I knew that there were some Brazilian people doing Jiu-Jitsu. I even knew of Helio. I knew of them. But their interest was not in coming to America and doing anything in the way of the UFC or anything like that. But they got the idea, and somebody brought it to America. They got the idea, and somebody took Bruce Lee out of the Shaw Brothers and brought him to America. They got the idea and took John Van Damme out of Europe and made him a star in America. My point that I'm getting at here is that these are moving trains. These guys represented a genre in the martial art, a.k.a. the moving train. Some of us, let me raise my hand, some of us remain neutral. I didn't do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in my school. I wasn't trying to do no kickboxing when Van Damme came around in my school. I wasn't doing a lot of these things that are so popular, a.k.a. the moving train. I was neutral. Did I benefit from that era? No, in no way. Matter of fact, people left me to go move with this moving train, a.k.a. evolution. So am I to be mad at those that want to evolve and get more? Or am I to move with the mover because I can't remain neutral? You see, it's important for us to understand before we start talking about what's good and what's bad, how much are we willing to do, what are we willing to do for progress? What are we willing to do for progress? We've seen so many crimes and atrocities done to black people over the years, and many other people that's enslaved too. But the reason why they are not done no more, or as much as they were before, is because of evolution. You see, even though they couldn't fix those things, those people couldn't live forever, nor could that lie that they were perpetrating live forever. And when they died, it died. You know, I'm a baby boomer, okay? We ain't got much left. That's just a footnote, Hashi. we ain't got much left with this thing here, right? But, you know, we moved this chain for – yes, sir. We moved this chain for a pretty good time here. You know,
yes,
big up to the baby boomers, because we, you know, we made our mark on the stuff here. But but there's a lot of ideas that will die, so to speak, because warriors never die. But they will leave with us because there will people that want to move on. That we will leave as descendants. Mm-hmm. But when they start to involve the kickboxing in the school, when they start to involve the kickboxing, but they want to call it Taibo. When they start to involve the groundwork, but won't call it Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but nevertheless, we do need to put some ground. Hey, y'all feeling where I'm going with this thing here?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. How can we take a Japanese karate school that practice Japanese karate and put grappling in it? What did you say? Blasphemy. How could you do that? What do you mean we're going to take a canvas top and wear silks? What? You ought to be stoned. What do you mean we need to flow more and we don't have the hard lines no more because the hard lines was what made my style, the Japanese karate, whatever. You want me to flow? Whoa, flow. What is that? There's no lines in there in flow. But we find the necessity of flow, the moving train. So, again, how much are we willing to not be neutral and get on the moving train? And what is the price for this ride that we're taking here? 646-716-6825. GM, come on with me now and help me out on this one.
Interesting. You know, I always, you know, people have choices. And rather than, and a lot of people, you know, I get some people say, well, this style is that. I said, well, those folks made a choice to practice whatever they're practicing. Well, maybe their parents made them go. That's another story. But you made a choice to you add kickboxing to your school or add Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu to your school. And because of what's going on in the world gives people ideas, so let me try this, let me try that. You know, the train is moving. You don't always have to move with the train, just like you was talking about, you know, hardstyle karate. I used to fight just like my first instructor. I mimicked everything he did until I went in the Army and was around other people. And now it comes my own personal way of doing things. That helps.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm glad that you took us on your journey of evolution to be able to get to where you're at. Because sometimes it's happening to us right in front of our face, but we don't want to call it evolution. You know what I mean? You know, we do some things and these things ain't exactly them, but, you know, we want to kind of keep it simple. Like, I know some people that have blue gis in their dojo. See, they still got gis, but they blue. Because the blue means they train in weapons that day. So you wear a blue gi for weapons. Hey, listen, I'm too traditional because I got a gi on. But I also remember a time when a black gi was, you would go to a tournament with a black gi on.
Mm.
They kick you out of there.
Sir.
You see? Because, again, there's a neutral part of that. It's like, no, partner. No, don't come. Don't come in here with that. Yeah, but it's a gi. No. Well, where does it say the rules I can't wear a black gi? Well, no, I'm telling you right now. I ain't got to say nothing nowhere. I'm saying
I got chastised for wearing a white gi.
Come on, man. Come on. I remember there used to be a gi that we dubbed a Korean gi, you know, with a V-neck or whatever. Don't be wear, doing no Japanese style, no Korean gi. What in the world is you think you're doing? You see, so tradition can sometimes stifle us to the point where we don't want to evolve. I said it. We as human beings avoid evolution. I want you to think about what I said now. We avoid it. We avoid it from the very beginning. We would stay at our mother's womb another 9 months if we wasn't growing so damn fast. See, yes, we don't. We get comfortable in one spot, and we don't want to move. So we got to get up out of there, because we don't. We can hurt our mother really bad. So even nature knows that. Move you from one position to another. But what do you do as soon as you get here? You start crying. You know why? Because you're not comfortable no more. Air is going through your lungs, and that hurts. That air hurts now, so you cry. You're in an environment. Your skin is exposed to outside. What is this? This ain't no wound. You know what I'm saying? So I've been trying to show you from the very beginning.
It's cold out here.
Yeah, it's cold out here. Listen, I'm still cold. So we got to keep it real up in here. We don't like change. We change because evolution is going to change us whether we like it or not. But if we get on that moving train and move with the movers, we say, maybe we'll get to that destination a little bit quicker and a lot less strife, a lot less pain, a lot less effort, and stop beating ourselves up by how the good old days. Because everybody's going to have a good old day.
Good old day, yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's going to have a good old day.
I had a colonel tell me in the police academy the second time I went, he said the hardest thing in life is change, good or bad.
Good or bad. Good or bad. So that's a great piece of advice. But what about, don't get me wrong now, because I ain't trying to make you no crystal ball genie, but what about preparation? What about knowing that it is going to be a change and I'm going to be moving with the mover?
Yes, sir.
You know, I tell my students that sometime when I'm training them, and I say, don't you see the next move? And they look at me like I'm crazy, like I ain't got no damn crystal ball. And I'm like, but I'm in the fight. I know I'm in the movement of the fight. So if I'm moving with the mover and I'm in control of the movement, then I'm supposed to be able to know where the next thing is going to come from. He ain't got no choice about to do what I'm going to do. I know that flies right by some people sometimes, like, yeah, especially the naysayers. The naysayers will tell me every time they can beat me to the punch. And the more angrier they get, you know, you and I both know what they don't know and what they don't remember, is that their anger gives them tunnel vision.
Yes.
So you know, you can't possibly see what I see because all you seeing is my head. All you see is you gonna punch me in the face. You're gonna AKA kick my behind. You too focused on the wrong. You see, it's a whole me coming at you. See, you looking at what's me. That's a bad place to be, looking at one piece of me. But again, what happens? That's what a bull does too, right? See, yes, the matador makes the bull look at the cape. Hey, hey, over here, Toto. Hey, hey. He shouted at the bill. Pay attention over here. What they say? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
See, because I'm controlling stuff over here. You need to be looking over there. And so this is what I'm saying to you. We already know. We've seen our teachers go through evolution. We've seen the pains of them going through evolution. We've seen the disloyalty. We've seen the people who think that they can do what our teachers do. Hell, we see the people who think they can do what we do.
Yes,
but
sir.
We didn't grow up thinking that we can replace our teacher. Well, whoa. Back a couple of pages. What book we reading from again? You think you better than your teacher? Listen.
Wow.
I can give you another old expression I used to hear in the street. Don't think I taught you everything I know, boy.
That's right.
I never took off my sleeve.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, let's keep it real now, right? You keep on thinking that everything I taught you is all I know. See, you ain't supposed to never think that. You're supposed to humble yourself to always know that there's something that wasn't taught to you, that there's always a greater mission. And not even profess to go, well, let me see it if you know it more than me. No. I'm supposed to believe it's there. See, you ain't got to see air neither to know your behind is alive because of it. I don't see no air, so I ain't breathing. What I see air, I'll start to exhale and inhale. Until I see it, hold my breath.
You only know for the wind and when it blows.
Come on now. But it's some arrogance that walks around and believes that. There's some arrogance that believe that they can control something instead of getting on with the movement of it. There's some arrogance thinking as long as I can stand still here with what I got, I'm good. But everything in your life shows you that. You can think that you, in 1932, if you saved $500, you was good.
Mm-hmm.
you had a piece of change there. $500 won't get you to the end of this week. You see? Because thought all I need to do is put the money up. And you thought that all I need to do is stand still and my children won't grow out of it. But you thought you didn't have to teach them because evolution would take over and teach them for you. But evolution will teach them right out of your life. They won't become family no more. Mm-hmm. They won't understand what it is to be family. See, you thought all you can do is send them to school and they would learn the life's lessons. So then they came home at 14 or 15 and told you to get out of their room. Oh, I didn't get a note with that one? Okay. I'm just saying. Because somebody done taught you wrong. See what I'm saying? Somebody done taught you wrong. But it's just as much your fault because you wasn't monitoring this train. You wasn't monitoring who's on board, who's getting off, what the next stop is. Come on now. Because when I use the metaphor train, that's what I'm thinking. There's a whole bunch of us on here. I don't know no train just carry one person.
Mm-hmm.
That train is the family. That train is the dojo. That train is the thing that we live in, the state we live in, the block we live in, the country that we live in. That's the moving train. Can't remain neutral on that. The United States will not be the same in 10 years from now. Well, it won't be the same tomorrow. We don't know. There's not a war that was had, that was contemplated on the lives that would be lost in it. Come on, Jim. You want me to say it again?
Mm-hmm.
There's not a war we've ever had that we knew how many people were going to die in it before it was even started.
So what
am I saying then? We got to understand that the evolution is going to change. And what happens at the end of all that conflict? 646-716-6825. Jump in here, Hansen.
Yes, sir. You know, you're speaking about change, subtle change that I've seen. Some of the seminars and different venues that I've attended over the years, and I've seen change to the point where, when I say mixed martial artists, I mean karate, jiu-jitsu, some judoka, are all in the same area, all in the same building. And I noticed that there's more Spanukas techniques being demonstrated or copied. And I'm like, oh, okay. I've been to three of them. I haven't seen a kick yet. But this is mixed. You know, not just a Spanukas event. That being said, to me, it's a blessing. It's a blessing because it shows me that these participants are now having an open mind. You know, they're willing to learn. You know, and they're willing to accept the medical because, you know, we were coming up. I wasn't going to a dojo. I wasn't taking up judo. You know, I stayed at home in my dojo. You know, I've seen it, I recognized it, I bear witness that it exists, but, you know, it wasn't my thing, you know. And, you know, with everything, some blessings can be a curse. Like two things can be true. You know, we invented fire, but fire is also destructive. We, you know, the Asians invented gunpowder. We see what that has done. You know, scientists have became smarter with atoms and nuclear scientists and quantum physics, and we see what that has done. Hell, we see what the cell phone has done, down to the basic elements of the cell phone. You know, how they're mining minerals from our continent of Africa. You see, so this is what I mean by every blessing could be a curse. You know, but when we're talking about building blocks, you know, we're talking about, like you stated earlier, Ahsoka, about iron and carbon fiber. Yeah, carbon fiber may have the same tensile strength as iron, but if you tweak it a certain way, it'll shatter. You can't repair it. Iron, you can weld it. So when I say that, I use that analogy with these people that can take a system and think they can reverse engineer it. Okay, you did this, you did that, but you forgot the principles. So down the line, what you learn or what you're teaching or what you thought was yours will shatter because it's not using the principles of what it was based on. Chat.
Well, yeah, for sure, because, you know, as I said before, the periodic chart, all elements are listed there, and then, you try to create from there, and that's evolution as well. You know, I have this thing where I say all the time is that there's nothing new under the sun, and I truly, truly believe that, you know, because we get this, I mentioned earlier, carbon fiber and stuff like that. So carbon fiber just landed on the planet Earth 10 years ago. No, our minds have evolved to be able to pull that from this earth and make that thing that's as strong as steel. So the evolution is important for our minds to be able to see things differently. The education department right now has got to change because the whole industry, especially the baby boomers, we were taught to be factory workers because the industrial age was coming. Right, so we were taught to operate machines and have these trades, and I don't even think they got trade schools no more. I remember they were all over the place. You know, you went to regular high school, you went to trade school. You know what I mean? But we were trained to be, again, not so much robots, but to look alike, not to be anybody jump from the box, okay? And so and even when we came from the military, we were given trades when we were in there. So if we survived it, you know, we had to come back out here and function. You know, but my point is, that when that age was over, there was an age of expanding our minds. More and more people were going to college. More and more people were thinking outside the box and getting PhDs in things of concept more than they were of tangible. No, people weren't doing as much engineering and things of that nature. But I think y'all get my drift. What I'm saying here is that the consciousness of the land changed. So many, many, many new things came from that. Some people work, a.k.a. ahead of their time. Einstein, ahead of his time. There are people who still can't think like that to this day. But again, what you have to think about is how from the very beginning, he was not thinking like everyone else. He was evolving every single day. And I always use this expression because I find it so true whenever I talk about him. I talk about the fact that he found the theory of relativity and the man died trying to prove his own theory wrong. I got nothing but admiration for somebody that does that. I got nothing but admiration for the martial artist that tried something and took that L as a learning opportunity and came back and did it better. I got but pride for the one that started and was able to beat everybody, but he had asthma when he walked in the dojo, and now he kept on to it. And the doctor told him that he would always have asthma, and now he ain't got nothing because he overcame it. He adapted. He improvised. He overcome. See, that's the warrior spirit that I'm talking about, this, the evolution of the moving train. Because this train is going to move. If you think the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is that, because that's what everybody's jumping on. When it moves, who's sticking with just Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and not thinking about something that was taught by Supreme Grand Master Dr. Moses Powell a long time ago? And he said, think conceptually. He said, look at the human body. Remember, the person that's attacking you is a human being. You don't know who's the attacker. You don't know who your next attacker is, but you should know yourself. So if I tell you that there are 6 breaking points in the arm, guess what, homeboy? I don't care what country he comes from, how big he is, and who his mama was related to who, and I don't care. He got 6 joints like me. He got to go.
Yes, sir.
See, because I took time to study me. by the time he got here, the more I studied me, by the time he got here, I got X-ray vision. I see stuff that he don't even know he got. You know what I'm saying? When somebody is saying, yeah, well, you know, Soke punched him in the lip, I say, somebody that knows the science will say what? Soke punched him in the philtrum. The what? Because everybody got one of them.
They be looking behind them.
There you go. I'm spending time on me. And me is you. And I'm ahead of you. I got me with me all the time. But if I want to take a break about me and physicality, right? If I want to take a break about me, because you know as well as I do, GM, right? When they asked us to get up 5 o'clock in the morning and do push-ups throughout the whole day, as a civilian, we thought they were losing their damn minds, right?
I sure did.
But in time with us, I understand we enjoyed it, but we understood it.
Yes, sir.
We understood the purpose of
when I went to basic training.
You see what I'm saying? Right. You already did some stuff up in there. You had prepared for it. And then after a while, when you came out, it becomes some second nature to you that you don't think of it as being something of a punishment or whatever to your body. Your body got used to, again, the move and train. But that's our conversation today. I see some more people who join us. Remember, you can jump in here anytime you want. 646-716-6825. We're dealing with Hashi Salim and his dream state. He came up with this one. And I don't know. I'm about to make sure he get a good night's sleep because he'd be coming up with some stuff. Maybe you heard this expression before, but we were talking about it today. You can't remain neutral on a moving train. Evolution is the key word. And so I have my honored guest, Jim, call with me today, and he's scratching his head like most of us was with this one.
Yeah, that's right.
Coming at us from different angles here and getting some, as Dr. Powell say, some clarity in the moment of understanding. And,
yes, sir.
You know me. I go down dark alleys without flashlights because I know my way out of there. But y'all just follow me through this one if you kind of confused on it. Because I want you to know you can come at it from different ways. And that's what I'm saying here. Without saying, here's the important part to me, without saying is wrong to remain neutral. You see what I'm saying? Because we start out by saying you can't remain neutral. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. If you want to, yeah, you can. But I don't want you to think that this thing that we're talking about here remains a choice. But what are you willing to pay for remaining neutral? And when things start to take over and go in another direction, how prepared was you for that? Because how could you not think that things will evolve? As the example I gave you earlier, at birth, you don't stay that size. You're evolving. From the day that you're born, your mission is to die. Okay?
Yes.
It's not to stay alive. It's to live life. That's your mission. And so, you know, I heard someone say that, excuse me, to not live your life's purpose is the crime before the Creator.
See, yes, sir.
Some people say, well, I don't know my purpose. You didn't spend enough time knowing yourself, all right? Most of the jobs that people have in life were jobs that life assigned them to, not you. You didn't assign yourself to that, you know? And then you say, well, you know, I always wanted to be this, but I had to do that because I had to take care of my family. And you can't walk and chew bubble gum at the same time? I'm just saying. You see, we're too quick to go, well, I'm doing this now. Yeah, no, I wanted to do that, but I can't do that. I can't do this and that. Them two different things, you know. Yeah, okay. See, your life's purpose, once you understand what it is, it's important for you to do that because you then and only then you can say you've lived a life. But otherwise, you lived somebody else's life. If the job was your purpose in life, you lived somebody else's life. If somebody assigned you a title on a job to do something, you live somebody else's life to make their life better. but you never lived your life because you never found your purpose. Again, move with the mover. Who is the mover? You know, that's something that we had a show on one time here. Is the mover you or is the mover your opponent?
Yes.
That was a good show, though, right, Hanshi?
Yes,
it
was.
A lot of people scratching their head on that one. But we can go back into the archives. And by the way, family, we do have archives on the show. It is tons of stuff back there. I really suggest that you do, because many, many interviews back there, warriors that no longer walk on this plane with us here today.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
just hearing their words, it's comforting to know that they are, the most of them that I know, they live their purpose, you know, which to me was to be a martial art warrior. Many of them had jobs and things like that, did other things in their life, survived a whole bunch of things, but they left this plane living their life, their true purpose. And I think that you can't do nothing else but compliment that with an us, because most people don't. They think they live, and this is why they're so afraid of dying, because they think they got a little bit more time. So I'm going to live next week. I'm going to live when I hit that lotto, boy. I'm going to live it up then. So you ain't going to live it unless you hit the lotto? I'm just saying. Why are you always taking everything literally? You said it, I didn't say it. Stop playing.
Yes, sir.
I talked to you to do that. I said, man, you cracking me up. He said, you okay? I don't see you falling apart today.
Right? Everybody got this. I'm going to. What? Mm-hmm. You ain't going to do nothing until you do that, huh? Not good. Not good.
See? Yeah, that's... It's okay. What you did to... analogy you just made, I take that to heart, because even my wife said, what are you doing now? And my answer to her is, what I was thinking of doing. I don't want to put it off, because then I'll forget it, you know?
Yeah.
But why don't you stay in one place? Because that's not where I want to be. It's just that simple, you know? And Soka, you had asked me, a while ago, you know, when I left the medical profession, why did I go into change profession and go into internet technology? And to me, it was an evolution, because I was dealing with people that were using computers back then in the hospital, and I was not understanding them, you see. So when I did leave, I said, well, let me... I see where this is going. Let me try this. You know, to me, that was moving with the mover, because that's where we at today. And, you know, I felt compelled to do it because it was a change and it was a challenge. You know, I wanted to know if I could do this. And I did it for 20 years. But, you know, I'm not a genius by no stretch of the imagination, but it taught me that what I learned in the martial art, I can apply to other parts of my life. Okay, it's a challenge. You know, you deal with it. You know, this cat did 200 push-ups. Well, he ain't Superman. If I try hard enough and did it in increments, I could do 200 push-ups. Cat.
When I see other people do stuff, I use that as motivation, you know. Even for people who do it to be braggadocious about it, hey, I'll beat you, do whatever. I always think it's a lesson for me, you know. You being braggadocious is a lesson for my humility. You see what I'm saying? I got to practice humility, because you're on the other side of that. And I want to think of it that way, you know, because – I never take anything to heart. I don't never really want to think that anybody will wish me harm, because then I can, you know, I got to crank it up more. You know, you wishing me harm, then I got to hurt you. And you hurt me, I got to maim you. And you maim me, I got to kill you. You see, I mean, you always feel like you got to ratchet up, right? But all of those choices that you make in opposition to it, like to take it to another level, usually are things that's going to cost you.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Because even criminals, and we teach this in our school, even criminals, the mugger guy, believe it or not, got rights. He'll get a lawyer that says you shouldn't have broke his arm in that many places. And he will win. You see? So you got to understand. I mean, this has got to be insane to you. He was trying to do that. I wasn't bothering him. How would I know how his arm got? Yeah, bro. You know, my son, peace be upon him, before he died, he was telling me he's a policeman. And he used to tell me that it's all about articulation. That's why cops get away with so much stuff. I can't tell you how many times around the table there was arguments, but, you know, because they telling me these cop rules, and I'm like, this makes absolutely no sense. But anyway, you know, he said that it's all about
writing.
There you go. There you go. I'm preaching to the choir. So what he said was, how he said it to me, when he gave me an example, he said, if I'm going to start to say client, but they ain't clients, they ain't patients.
Perpetrator.
When the perpetrator is being arrested and you bust him in the mouth because, you know, he swung at you, you got off a two-piece and you laid him down and put him in an armbar, you know, and you had to cuff him, so you put him in a hammer lock, boom. When you have to write it, he says, you can't say you hit him in the face. You have to say, I hit him about the face.
Mm-hmm.
And that you should. I said, he got a broken nose and a bar. He said, you have to write it that I struck him about the face. But if you said that, he said, if you said it like this, well, I hit him in the nose because he, you know, when he swung, I swung back and I hit him in the nose, and that's why his eye's looking like that and whatever. It says that you focused on that point that you hit him in. That's how you know it was a nose, because you knew when you threw the punch, it was towards his nose. That would put you in violation because you're speaking like you knew the actions you took. Am I right, Jim?
That is absolutely true.
Okay. So that articulation thing, because I know some people, I forget the name that they call it, antidotes, I think they call it. And the way they write that thing, it gets them off every time. Because, I could see the generality in that, you know. I guess if you was using something like that, the perpetrator was resisting, and while trying to restrain him, he stumbled and hit his head. No. and trying to restrain him, he bust his lip. So what you're saying is, hey, I was trying to help him out. I don't know how lip got like that. To me, that's out and out lying. You know exactly what happened to his lip.
We had a class called Creative Writing 101. I still have the book. It teaches the police officers how to write stuff like that. It does. It does.
Well, let's take it back to martial arts. Think about that. How are you creatively letting people know about your martial arts skills without saying, without saying something just inappropriate? So give me something like that. For teaching a self-defense technique. And the reason why I say that, because as teachers, we have to be careful about what we're saying when we're teaching a technique. You know, you'll hear me say often, hyperextend it all. I really say break it all. I don't say break it. Right.
I noticed you say that, and because I say it too. Something depends on who my audience is. I'm like,
he breaks his thing off.
You know, or you hyperextend it.
Yeah, it's so different thing. And then, like you said, including watch your audience, because I did something one time, and a kid, well, he was 12, and I thought I was just flowing and showing these kids what to do, and they was like looking all wide eyed and stuff like that. And so the kid, in the middle of the break of being talking, he just shouted out, excuse me. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, isn't that illegal to break someone's arm? You know he shut the room down when he said that.
I know.
How did you answer this kid? You know, But I said, it's also illegal for him to break mines, too, so I broke his first. I shouldn't have said that. but little smart behind, he's going to try to, in the middle of my seminar, presentation telling me isn't it illegal to break somebody's arm. You know, he must have been the class bully. So, like, why are you teaching people they can break my arm? But, you know, you especially, again, when you're introducing weapons into self-defense, you really have to, as GM said, do some creative writing or creative talking, because if you don't, there's a liability there, you know, a deep one.
Yeah, you know, he taught me how to break an arm.
Won't they call your name?
Fire court. We touch my court. That's so killful.
Won't they call your name? Like you be called for dinner, boy. They be like, excuse me, subpoena says what? Subpoena for what? Yeah, well, Celine said you taught him that.
No, I told him I understand.
Oh my goodness. You have to be careful about articulation for sure. Again, getting back to our subject matter for the day, as we're saying, you can't remain neutral on a moving train. I think we got off into it this way because knowledge is moving. And if you're not moving, you're stagnant, so you're not growing. Languages have grown. Dialects have grown. Some people will say, oh, that's the old way. I was talking to a friend of mine that knows Italian, and he's telling me, I never thought of Italian as having more than one dialect. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, I think of Filipinos as having more than one dialect. I think of Chinese as having more than one dialect. I mean, it was pretty much Southeast Asia. And again, that's evolution. But I always thought Italy was Italy. They speak in Roman, ain't they? I don't know. They speak in Italian. And so, you know, but even that's an evolution. But he was telling me that the dialects have changed. And many of the things that, even in our language today, if you look at the dictionary, it says from the Greek word, XYZ. And again, we relate back to Italy for a lot of those things. So I was educated right there on the spot. We can get educated if we seek, but when you start to become neutral, you lose because nobody will know what you're talking about no more because we don't even do that anymore. And we can see that in everyday life. Go take a rotary phone and put it in front of a 14-year-old right now. And say, make a phone call. What I'm supposed to do with this? And better get a payphone, right? Don't tell them. There's a video like that one time. See if I can find it for you guys. And they put a payphone in front of these kids, and they tell them to make a phone call. They just stood there with their eyes wide open. What I'm supposed to do it? One of them said, "Where's the QR code? Where? How do I turn it on?
Where's the internet?"
Yeah, this is not a smartphone. Then they said, "Make a call." They just looked at it. And he said, "Oh, it's a phone." They said, "A phone? Like that's not a phone."
This is the grandma. The video. I saw the video with the little girl. And our grandmother had a phone like that and told her to make a phone call. And the grandmother was fussing at her, and the little girl didn't know what to do.
Don't know what to do at all. You know, but the only common denominator in that is there's always an earpiece and there's always a mic. See, you can change the way you do it. No, if the mic was on a little box and you had to take the wire hit and put it up to your ear, because that's the way we communicate. We speak and we listen. You know, they trying to work on this Star Trek stuff here where you can think up something.
Yeah.
I can think a thought to you and you know what I'm talking about or whatever. They're working on it.
Vulcan mind grip.
Yeah, whatever. But again, if you could think it, you can achieve it in some kind of way. Again, evolution. I seen this thing called Humane on where it's an AI thing. When now you put it on your chest, you ask the questions you want to see the answer, hold your hand up, and the answer is hologrammed in your hand.
Mm.
Yeah. It's out right now as we speak. And it's just like, it's really like Alexa on your body. You can answer it, anything, make phone calls, the whole nine yards.
Like so, lucid eyeglasses, too.
Yeah, exactly. But see, you and I, see how we could talk about this and we don't think, oh, that must be some kind of witchcraft. No, that must be from the future, newfangled thing. We don't think like that because our minds understand that, oh, okay, it's evolution. Think, okay, you got electric cars now. Yeah, okay, all right. Oh, they got monorails, you know, trains that run on magnets. Okay. See, we wasn't there when it was done, but we understand progress. But
yes,
you got
sir.
Some people won't get on a monorail. I don't see no wheels on this thing. How's it moving?
You know, I got to see that will not use the internet for money exchange at all. He writes me a check every time.
Mm-hmm. He probably still got some money in his matches too. Right?
He's 76 years old.
But I'm just saying, you know, it comes with the territory. We don't think of ourselves as, when we start thinking of ourselves, is that there's always a greater version of ourselves. This is the same pride that we have when we raise our children. There's we tend to think there's a better me in that child. Am I right or wrong? Am I the only one out there with this?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You hope
yes,
for
sir.
The best. You don't. I don't think most parents think they kids are going to be dumber than them. I'm just saying. You know, the hope is that they'd be smart enough. The hope that, like we said before, a lot of our grandparents or whatever didn't finish high school. The hope is that this one will go beyond that. The hope will be that this one will go beyond the one that came before that because that's evolution. That's the moving train. That's the anticipation of knowledge and progress and the growth of a family. I anticipate that. Now, do it work out that way all the time? No. But I work towards that, and that's my evolution of the moving train. Now, I said that because, and I think that why this show here was so relevant to today's martial art is because there's a lot of us, a lot of my friends from my era, that would just go later for that. GM, I know you've seen it yourself inside the youth tournaments where people our age won't even come out and chief Senmar because they're so frustrated with what they're seeing. Instead
right.
of adding their contribution to it. And, you know, there's a level, as the expression says, water seeks its own level. So if they ain't got a master, dominus unum, you the master.
Mm-hmm.
They make one. So you can't walk away from this moving train. We are all martial artists. When I put up videos or little clips, people start screaming on me like, that won't work. People won't do that. Who fights like this or whatever? I really, I'm not discouraged. The only thing that discouraged me is that there may be a martial artist that's saying that. To me, it's us against them. The people who would be doing the foul, disordered things to try to take a person's life or hurt them or whatever, and the people who are protecting themselves. I would think if you were a martial artist, you would think that all martial art has some worth to it, whether it's health
yes,
benefits
sir.
Or whatever, against the people who would try to do something to harm me. So I'm like, what are you advocating for the, well, nobody's going to choke nobody like that. Wish they would. I'll pull my piece out. Who are you, the criminal? And if you're the criminal and you're on my page, listen. You know, but I'm so happy when I see my beloved family and friends, I don't have to say nothing to them. My fans, a.k.a. my brother martial artist, jump on them like, what are you talking about, man? Who are you? And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
It's silent after that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, you jumped on me, but somebody jumped on you, somebody. And so now you quiet. See, but you want to invoke me into getting into a higher level of ignorance. I don't have to prove nothing to you, not unless you're the criminal. Then you get a free lesson. You ain't got to worry about nothing else. You ain't got to worry about me pulling no punches and nobody's going to stand still. You're going to stand still all right.
okay.
We could date, okay.
But again, but me saying that to the person is wrong. You know, why am I threatening a person and doing it right now? But why are you on my page? Because you don't like what you see. Keep it moving.
Get off my page.
That's right.
Yeah, I didn't come to your page and like making you watch. You're going to take the time to type out a whole paragraph. You know what I mean?
God told me I suck.
You know,
I had to laugh. I had to laugh, so I deleted and blocked him. I don't know him from Adam. His opinion didn't matter to me, no way.
Absolutely. You know, but here's the thing that we do. We offer people stuff, not so much for their approval, but just because we were taught to offer. We were taught if a person comes to your house to offer them water. We were taught that. We were taught to be able to be courteous to a person. We were taught, like we teach the children, to say hello when you walk in the room. These are things that we taught. Now, some people don't deserve a hello. For real, they don't. You know, they don't. They just rude from the very beginning. Why am I going out of my way to show them some courtesy? Because that's who we are. And you win, they win, when they can get us to stop being who we are and to be who they want us to be. They want us to be rude like them. They want us to be non-concerned like them. You know, but I've seen other seminarians do it too. You know, get on the floor, come right behind another, and say that won't work. What you need to do, the people who do this, that won't work. And I'm like, whoa. What are you talking about? Something is better than nothing. And a lot of times I'm showing you things in a clinical environment. It's a laboratory I'm showing you this in. I'm not really hurting nobody and whatever, but I am quite aware of what happens when I hit these points here, because I've had them hit on me a couple of times and just can't wait to try it out on you. You want a free lesson?
you know, so, okay, I sat down face-to-face with a quote-unquote martial artist, and he was critiquing what I did. And I told him, first and foremost, you're not qualified to judge me. Secondly, there's actually, and you're in good timing, there's a seminar coming up. I'll pay your fee. Come down and see if it works. If it don't, you tell me. And that's it. But you ain't going to get me pissed off enough. Put your gi on. No. Come and see for yourself. Come and get touched. And then come back to me and tell me your opinion. You see, but, you know, I haven't spoken to him in 2 years. He never got back to me. But anyway, it's the same thing with Miles, man. You have people that are into Miles Davis, you know, that are a little older than us or same age. And when he electrified that trumpet, oh, man, what the hell happened to Miles, man? Oh, man, he didn't lost it. He electrified a trumpet. But Miles was the type of musician to say, I don't look in the past. If you're trying to play what I played in 1960 or get me to play that, I'm not there no more. This is what I'm doing.
Right.
And it's the same thing with a lot of other musicians, electric violins and, you know, so on and so. Herbie Hancock, when he came out with Headhunters. You know, it's like, Jim, you may be a little too young for that one. But
I've heard of it.
But those synthesizers, you know, it just blew my mind, man. You know, it's like, okay, Miles is moving with the mover. This is where his mind is. This is his evolution. I'm electronic now. You know what I'm saying? I could sit down at a basketball game at the floor level, hear the sneakers, and hear the ball bouncing and come up with something. You know, this is a thinker. This is a thinker, man. And my knowledge of, my little knowledge of Dr. Moses Powell is he was the same way. He was a thinker. He was a revolutionary as far as martial arts are concerned. You know, how the hell did, I know the first time I seen him. And I looked at Silke and I said, what the hell are we doing? And we've been doing it for a while, you know, but had never seen it before. But I didn't sit back and say, oh, man, that ain't going to work. you know, what kind of nonsense that is. You know, you're supposed to one punch, one kill, you know, that type of thing, which is still relevant. But these are the things when I think about when I say you can't remain neutral on a moving train. But nobody says you have to get on that damn train. I mean, if you're going to, you want to get to a certain stop, you don't get on the express train. You know, you want to
well,
go
you
to
know,
Nazi, you don't. Yes, sir.
Not going to finish your thought.
I say, if you want to go to a certain area, you don't get on that train.
Well, the thing about, I always think about a train is that most trains that I know run on tracks. And so if you stand on that track, you're going to get run over. So
yes,
I'm just saying, you know, you need to step over there to the side. And if you ain't quick enough, you're still going to get run over. But what I think about the train is being, again, life itself. It's moving. It's the train. You don't get a choice not to. The choice you get is to want the main neutral or move. But the choice not to get on the train is not to live, not to be a part of the thing that's moving you. So when you say you don't have to get on the train, to me in my mind that's sort of like neutralizes it. Like, well, I ain't got to live neither. Since I don't want to do it, I'll just kill myself because I don't want to do all that. You know, and we know that the preservation of life is the one thing that can create order in the most violent individual, the most disconcerting individual. All you got to do is threaten a person with life imprisonment and their whole disposition changes because I don't want to kill myself, and you're just telling me life, I got to wait until I die if I don't kill myself, and I want to have the most quality life I can while I'm alive. Again, the moving train. So, you know, the one thing that you can punish a human being with is consolidation of his life, putting him away from people. See, we're nurturing people by default. Most people say, I don't even know why people want to live in New York, all those people or whatever. Because more people around us makes us feel somewhat, I don't know, I don't want to say safer, because that's a falsehood as well. But when people move to suburbs and stuff, they don't move to mountains and areas where ain't nobody in the nearest neighbor 16 miles. You know, they still be, for the most part, people move around other people because we're social beings. And so what we want to do is we want to control our space. You know, if people live in the suburbs love to come into the city to have dinner. And then they get up out of Dodge, you know. I live in New York, and most of the people who I know to come visit me here, they fine with the visit. But they make sure that car got enough gas to get back up out of here. You know, so we got to kind of remember that you know, but we shouldn't want to come here in New York at all, because every bridge and tunnel that leads into New York, you have to pay to get here. But you don't have to pay to leave. So yeah, every bridge is made that way. You can leave here for free, but you got to pay to come here, because that's how much they know that people want to be here. So, yeah, you got to kind of like look at that neutral, that train as a thing. Hey, I was born, I'm alive, I'm on the train, but I'm just going to sit here and remain neutral. No, you can't. You got to move with the mover. This life is moving, because we know that it moves at different pace. And I think going back to the dojo end of it, the same thing. The dojo that we grew up in does not move, train, or do anything at the pace that dojos are today. Even if we are the proprietor, as much as we may try to move it at that pace, they can't keep up. We change the curriculum because they won't be able to stand it. We understand that that adjustment is about trying to keep them in the game. And so it's not that we teach them to be weaker or whatever. The ultimate mission is to keep them in the game, because there's something that's going to touch them along the way that they don't even know what it is. It's going to give them an aha moment as an adult. I don't know nobody that takes martial art in a school that ain't affected by something. And 90% of the time, it's something that the teacher said or did that wasn't even a part of the curriculum. But because they were there, Now, I do demonstrations all the time for parents and after school programs, and I tell them the thing that we are here to achieve more than the blocking, the punching, the kicking, and the belt, and the ranking, and the going to the tournaments and anything, is to keep them off the streets, because I teach in an inner city area. And I told them, my son used to tell me, the statistics said anywhere from 3:30 to 8:30, come on, let me say it again, 3:30 to 8:30 when all the juvenile crimes take place. Not all, but the majority. Well, wait a minute. Ain't them the same hours for martial arts school?
Yes,
6 to 7? 6 to 8:30, right? Mm-hmm. After school, you know, right after school, 4 o'clock program, right? So we are taking the kids off the street. And for every day that we can keep them with us, the streets don't get a chance to harm them. Tell me that ain't self-defense. Tell me that ain't self-defense. Oh, that you're teaching those kids them kind of techniques. They'll get they behind with it. No. I kept them off the streets for 3 years of their life. So the streets never got a chance to harm them. Self-defense. Check. Mate. Or go sit down somewhere. See, so they're going to come at you with that nonsense about what you're doing is not relevant, it's not practical or whatever. But you got to think on a higher level, because you did save somebody's life by keeping them off the street. That night that you heard some of the gun shooting in your neighborhood or whatever, that could have been one of your kids that you had in the school, in the dojo. Then when they're sitting around watching a black belt or another a dojo member do something and they watching them instead of watching TV, you saved that kid. You saved his mind, the way he's thinking about things. When he came into school and he was asking permission to enter and the permission to leave and making sure that he was respecting his dojo brothers by not talking on the floor, you saved that kid's life. So he ain't talking in school and being written up for doing things out of place, for not being where he said he was going to be when his mother telling him to be someplace. Stop playing. See, we got to start looking at the things we do in another type of way other than the way everyone else is looking at it. And I don't particularly care if they understand or not, because we know the end result is that we're here to save lives. And this is what I meant by living your life's mission. Not what the assignment was. I never was assigned to be a black belt to be training over 54 years. That was not my assignment. That was my calling. And because I live that, I live protected. I live in my for what I say and what I do, because I make sure that I'm trying to bring somebody with me that wants to go. You know, Harriet Tubman had a quote. She said, "I freed a lot more slaves had they known they were slaves."
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought that as being a powerful quote, because basically I can come back and free a whole bunch of room full of people. But who in there wants to go? And who am I wasting my time on? So I got to put up these little things like that, merit and rank and stuff like that. If you do this, you do this, then that means this, and that means that. I want to see who's going to come towards me, who's going to take that step towards me like I took a step towards them. We need to match and match up at here, because otherwise some student is going to wind up, some child in your family is going to wind up thinking somebody owes them something.
Yes, sir.
Come on, let's not act like that ain't crossed our path yet, right? But we know, don't nobody owe you nothing. You get the grace of life through a creator. He'll owe you nothing, right? Your parents cared for you. They got parents that throw kids in the garbage can every day. See, stop playing. Learn to live in a state of gratitude. And that way you'll always be where you need to be at. But people don't think like that. They're too much thinking about way they want it to be and the way they want it to turn. That's why, like you said earlier, Jim, AIO. Because tomorrow going to bring some AIO. Trust me when I tell you.
Hey, you know, that's right.
You're going to be adjusting some stuff.
Yes, sir.
I got to teach the kickboxing class tomorrow morning, and I don't even teach it anymore. So it's going to be some AIO tomorrow morning.
There you go. You can see the AIO. It ain't even tomorrow yet.
Yeah, no.
But did that stop you? Or do you say, I ain't teaching that because I ain't teaching in a while? Well, no. The greater mission is to keep the school going. But imagine if you were around 2, 3, 4 people who think about AIO and it's thinking in the moment and have become critical thinkers. Let me tell you, man. You don't need no army. You just became the elite force of whatever that you're running around with. You are the greatest sum of the five people that you run around with. Think about it that way. And if you're running around with five people who understand that there's others that it's a greater sum than themselves, we can't do nothing but achieve. We're achieving all the time. But that mindset needs to be taught. We note that in some Asian people because their culture teaches that. We don't think of things as being a stressful thing because I got to do it. You know, there's no such thing as a janitor in a Japanese school. The kids clean up behind themselves.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah. You made the mess. Why would you think that it's some kind of anomaly for you not to think you're supposed to clean up behind yourself? But how many times have you gone to a mall area and food court and watch a child get up from the table and never think about picking up that wrapper or anything else and put the garbage which is only 2 feet away from them?
Yes, sir.
Because they feel entitled. They feel entitled.
I say this one thing. I was on patrol one day, and I was in an unmarked vehicle. I was going down this highway, and this car in front of me takes a bag of trash and throws it out the window.
Oh,
ooh, didn't I get hot? And it was the hottest day of the summer. I pulled him over, and I reminded this young man, he didn't even know nothing about this. You remember the commercial where the Indian was standing on the shore?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And the trash going down the river. Mm-hmm. He said, "Oh yeah, I remember my parents used to tell me about that." I said to myself, "You lying." I said, "I tell you what, I'm gonna give you this ticket, or you gonna go down there and get that trash."
Come on.
He walked all the way down there and got that trash. He got back in his car and I said, "Have a good day." But it just irritated me to see somebody do that, you know. It always irritates me when I see people throwing trash out the car and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other subject.
Yeah, I whenever I have, you know, little garbage or candy wrapper or whatever, because it's so ironic because it happened to me today. I was changing coats. I had all these little pieces of paper in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, I'm carrying around these wrappers.
Yep.
You know, I say when I get to a garbage, I'm going to take it out, but evidently I forgot. But I don't throw it on the ground. I put it in my pocket, and I figure when I get to a garbage, I'll take it out. But it would start to collect in my pocket, and I'm like, see, but that, I'm a creature of habit like that. But, you know, habits are going to happen. You just want them to be good ones instead of bad ones because it's not a choice about habits. You're going to get a habit about doing something. But the choice is whether or not they're good or bad. So, you know, always think about these things instead of avoidance of it all the time. Think about how you're going to get the best out of whatever it is. You know, becoming a critical thinker. And as I said before, the education system does not invoke that in us naturally for us to become critical thinkers. I don't even think they play with puzzles no more in preschool, you know, you know, because it frustrated the kids. Ah, I won't go in the hole. They start banging it with a hammer and stuff. Like, try to go and get another piece. It's other pieces over there. You know, but you see that, how it's being built in them, that nobody's teaching them how for patience. Nobody's teaching them how you can look at this thing and know that it don't go in that through sight. You ain't got to go physically try to force it in there. You can look at it. There's very few kids that think like that. I mean, I don't want to tell nobody, man, but I teach an after-school class in one of my schools, at least 14 kids in there. And if there are five that know they left from their right, I don't get it. I just don't. And I'm saying left. And I just pointed to, physically touched that leg, this one, left. And they will move the other one every time.
Yeah, I got a couple of them like that too.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, when we learn our left from our right, it's stuck. Well, it's not going to change. That's all it's going to be. I got to tell them, I said, your left leg is under your left hand. Because they don't even know where their left hand is, but don't know where their left leg is. I'm like, I'm being pumped. What is this? but again, lack of focus, lack of paying attention.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And my theme for the last 2 years is the kids have a superpower. And they're like, what's the superpower? I say common sense.
Common sense.
Your patch is on your left side of your gi.
so you know where your left side is. Or something. I still don't get it, but I understand.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But again, it's a teaching moment for us instead of us being critical about it. Because, again, as a teacher, we have to reach children and adults on different modalities.
Yes,
everybody don't get it, you know. And a lot of times people that move on, remain stagnant on the moving train. And you've been with me, Jim, and both of you, Hanshi, have seen me in a room where people have high rank on, I'm going to say it like that, and they can't move a certain way. Because I don't doubt that they're good at what they do, but the ability to be able to adapt to other people's stuff, they can't do it.
Right.
Because they have become so stagnant in their way of learning stuff, and they're not freeing themselves up. And there's nothing wrong with being that way, but until you recognize it. You know, the first step in fixing a problem is to recognize you got one. But if you don't think that that's a problem, then maybe that's the reason why it's still stagnant like that. You know what I mean?
You know, Sophie, you know, we talk about our children, you know, that we teach. And that includes any child that I'm around. I think it's, you know, a concentration thing. Things come at them so fast in the media. And I say that because when my grandkids are around me, I'm always teaching. I don't care how subtle it may be. I had my oldest grandchild in the car, and she's in her 20s. And I was playing some old music, and the music came on. You guys may know the song, I Have Two Lovers. And the first thing she said is disgusting. I said, what? Two lovers? How disgusting. I said, are you listening to the lyric? Close your mouth, listen to the lyric. Oh, yeah. You just assumed without listening. So she said, oh. I said, this is what I tell you about listening. I said, be silent. I said, I was taught to be the last person to speak in the room by somebody I love. Be the last person to speak. Check.
You know, I would agree with that, but let me just spin it for you just a little bit. They tell us that. I've had my niece tell me that one time about rap. I'm like, what in the world is that? She said, Papa, just listen. I'm like, all right, my bad. That's my baby girl. Okay, I'm listening. I still hear nothing there, but I had to appreciate when she said that. But what do you mean you don't understand it? Just listen. So I start listening. And, you know, I know spoken word. I know stuff like that. I know the lyricists, you know. But what I have to give a lot of rappers credit for is that they are masters of a thesaurus. They can find multiple ways to say the same word. That's a skill. And to be able to do it on a beat, that's a skill. I got to recognize that. And say, I hate rap, all that. Yeah, this mumbling. It's this, that, and the other. The misogynistic part. But, you know, I cut the line there. And with all that misogynistic stuff going on, right? You know, but I am listening now to understand it. You know, when I watch shows like Jeopardy and games of knowledge and stuff like that, I'm always amazed at how these people got this random information running around in their head. Like, well, so you was waiting all around for me to ask you the question, what sea goddess was named Poseidon? How'd you get that in your head? You know what I mean? Or you just kept Greek mythology in your head or something? But that random knowledge, that wanting to know other things, these people will tell you in a minute, I read the dictionary. Who reads the dictionary?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because they're expanding their knowledge. I'm not even trying to memorize the dictionary, but that knowledge will touch me, and it will evolve into something else, and then I will find a way to say that same word, whatever, and then I know where the origin of that word is. To say the same thing, you hear people, young kids in a spelling bee, spell economical. Would that be economical from the Greek economics? Or would that be, what? This spell economical. You know? But they know that's the trick, that it is a second C in there if you use this version of it. So listen, before I start, let's get it clear before you tell me it's wrong. See, that's the critical thinking part. And you got to give them props. So even if they spell the word wrong, you got to give them props of thinking before they act. Because it's teaching me that this, everything is a process. You know, when we looked at Denzel Washington movie, The Equalizer, first came out, it was so martial arty to me. Even though he was just beating people up, he wasn't doing what a lot of people would call martial art, but he was, you know, doing what he did. But it was so beautiful because that looking at the room and set his clock, it took about 9 seconds. Everybody here is going to die. That was priceless to me. I don't care what that's what I'm saying. You can't tell me that ain't martial art to its highest degree. But no belt on. Didn't claim no style, no nothing. Every time somebody was coming at him, he didn't even flinch. He timed it perfectly when it was coming at him. He knew exactly, like playing pool, I'm going to get this one, I'm going to get that one, I'm going to jump over this one, get that one, I'm going to pull this one in front of this one. Click, 8 seconds. Still doing all the money. You got to appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Because that's critical thinking to its max. I assess the room. And I went into play and do my action. I'm not waiting for nothing to come to me. I'm sizing this room up, and I'm going to play it like a musical instrument. I can watch the picture over and over again because conceptually, it speaks to every part of martial art that I love and I love dealing. Science. Yeah, you can do that if you have the right timing, if you know where to hit. You know the commitment because of the angle you set this guy up at. He can't swing at you any other way other than the way you made him swing at you. Come on.
Set him up.
We set him up.
Okay,
so
you've been set up.
You've been.
I heard you say that quite a few times. You've been set
That's it. You've been set up, man. And the thing about it, it's like a magician's trick. You know good and well that's an illusion. But you can't see it when it's happening. You watch him do it 1,000 times. And you know it's not real. It wasn't no rabbit in the hat. But you can't prove that it wasn't. 646-716-6825. I got my honored guest here today, GM Carl Matthews, as well as Hanshi, who woke up with this subject matter that we've been talking about for over an hour. We only have about maybe 15 more minutes to the show. I just want to take the time out to thank my guests and those people online that's listening to us go down memory lane with a lot of this stuff and to get what I hope comes out of this is a better understanding about things. This show represents Supreme Grandmaster Dr. Moses Powell, who teaches us the concepts of martial science. You might want to look us up one of these days and come out to a seminar or two. And, you know, you might appreciate what we are getting across to people. Nothing fancy. The definition of Sanukis is simplicity, and we try to make it just that. And not convolute the waters to make it look like it's something that it's not, and to make it look like something is superior than the next thing or whatever. It's really all about being family and sharing from that that same pot that we all eat from as opposed
yes,
to
sir.
Now, again, that's something kind of going from families, too. I remember there was one meal going on that day at the table. Ain't nobody gets a chance to order some rice and the macaroni over there, and he want a potato over here. I wasn't raised like that. This is the pot. Come to dinner when I call you, not when you feel like it. You say your grace, and you ate from the pot, or you didn't eat.
People was cooked, got what you wanted.
Come on. So let's think about that in the martial art as well. How do we feed our students? How do we let them know that there's a time to eat from one pot? Again, you know, all of us online here went through the military, and if we think back, that's what they did to us. It wasn't no multiple meal to choose from. It wasn't one pop, but it was one meal. When we having this today, we having this. Was it? Yeah, if you was a commissioned officer, I guess maybe, I don't know, because I wasn't a commissioned officer, but maybe you got a chance to order something like you in a restaurant. But everybody else ate the same thing. So, you know, let's think about evolution. Where are we going from here in our school? Where are we going from here in our martial art lives and careers? Where are we going from here in our health aspect as well, which will evolve into something else? I assure you of that. How much thought are we giving to that without becoming paranoid about it? You know, I don't want anybody thinking they're going to die tomorrow. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. You ain't got no control over that, but you do have control over living the best life that you can with the breath that you take each day. I was taught to give up every day that you awake and give thanks for that day, whether you did something or not, or whether you were expecting something good or not. And if something bad happened in the day, you still gave thanks for that because you didn't have to go through that. And that was just a lesson anyway. That's the only reason why you thought it was a bad day, because you didn't learn a lesson. Think about that.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? So we can gain a lot from the way we think about things. And the reason why I'm saying to our listening audience like that is because a martial arts can teach us to think about things differently, to think about the totality of something, to try to see the whole picture and not just the pieces of it, and to understand that we are three individuals, spirit, mind, body. And we'll always be spirit, mind, body, all right? And when we lose this body, which is attached to our mind, our spirit will find another body because it's made of energy. And energy, last time I looked, cannot be destroyed.
That's right.
It can only be transferred.
True.
So
that's right.
Stop telling yourself that you're a martial artist and you don't understand what that means, that you have a evolution. You will change. Your mind will change. Your body will change. Your spirit should grow. And in that way, it'll always keep you in the best positions to be able to deal with those other two things that have a limitation on it. You said something earlier there, Hanshi, when you said the reason why I'm thinking, when you said I'm doing what I'm thinking now because I may forget. I always like to think of that. That's maybe the creator's way of saying, you know what? You need to start living in the moment because you're getting older.
Yes, sir.
So if you think of something, you better do what you're thinking because I ain't going to let you remember it later.
You got that right.
Maybe that's a crazy way of looking at it. But, you know, I was going to do something. Maybe you should have did it when you was thinking about it because
that's right.
You know, ain't no promise you're going to be able to remember it, you know.
That's right.
I do that with people now. If I think about you, I'll call you.
Come on.
I've thought about some people, and they passed away, and I was like, oh, I should have called them when I thought about it. So
come on now. Yes,
now
sir.
I just,
we call
I
it
just
an us call.
Now.
Yes, sir. We call it an us call. We just call people, say us. Well, what's up, man?
Us.
That's right. Just gonna say us. Click.
Us.
That's right.
You're calling love. He's mine,
like, I'm
on the call. Be talking about us. Just wanted to hear your voice, brother. Us, keep it moving.
Yeah.
You know, but you'd be surprised what that does for the spirit. You know, I tell people that all the time. When you go visit somebody in the hospital, why they let you in there? You ain't no doctor. Mm. But your spirit will lift the spirit of that person. I've seen when people are laying there in agony and pain, and I walk in the room and they stop. Yeah, and the student mother looked at me like, well, who the hell just walked in the room? He was just in here whining a minute ago, you know, and he can hardly move a muscle like he want to salute me. And the people looked at him like he was just in pain. But the mere fact that I showed up gave him another lift in his spirit, like a shot in his spirit. So they know that spirits can lift spirits. And sometimes people need that. They need to know that somebody cares. You know, because when you're down and out, man, you know, you thinking, hey, this is it. You know, ain't nobody care about my pain. Ain't nobody care about my misery, whatever. But, you know, if you was a doctor or came with some medicine or something, yeah, your spirit is the medicine. That's why they let you in there to visit those people.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
that helps heal. It heals. And it heals us whether we got something physically wrong with us or not. When we walk in the room with a good spirit. You know, I since I met GM Carr, he's never, ever greeted me without a firm handshake and a smile on his face. This is a spirit. A spirit
that's
that
right.
comes with it. And you want to be able to give that as much as you possibly can. And I'm quite sure there's been some things that make the brother frown. Now, you know, I ain't saying he's smiling all the time. But I like to think that good spirit begots good spirit. You know, when you're around a good spirit and you're a good spirit, then that
energy is great.
Vibrates. The energy is greater. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can practice these things without, again, as I always say, without permission. Stop thinking that some black belt
yes,
or somebody else has to give you permission to be more respectful or to be. Once you understand the concept of respect, then you should give it. Respect begots respect. It's that simple. You want it, you need to get it. Give it.
That's right. That's right. And that's to everyone.
You know, we say these words in a school all the time, but we don't really give any kind of meaning to it, even if it's the dictionary meaning of it. You know, here they say respect, a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something. Due regard to the feelings and wishes and the rights or traditions of others. You say that and drop the mic and walk away when you say that. But you got it up on your wall, 8 feet tall and big letters. Respect. This is a school of respect. But I can walk into school and ask a student, what does that word mean? And I get nothing close to a definition that, even a dictionary definition. So my point is, don't stop thinking you have to be so eminent and wise at everything. Seek help. You don't know what it is? Look it up.
Yes, sir. You talking about reading a dictionary. I got 4 or 5 martial arts dictionaries on my desk in the dojo.
Come on.
And I will go through them and just see what I don't know.
There you go. There you go. Yes, sir. Been there. Been there, done it myself. You know, I had an uncle that only had a 6th grade education. And, you know, when you're younger, you just ask questions because they're adults and stuff like that. That's his favorite thing. Look it up, boy. Look it up.
Look it up.
I couldn't argue with him. But that's what the teacher said. Look it up. But I figured I would cheat and ask him. But he could have made
Google
up
it. Google it. Google
yeah,
it. Man.
Exactly.
Google
it. Right? But he could have made up something. You know, just because he's older, you don't want to look like he don't have the answer. Now, it was wise of him to say, look it up. Because then I know the truth because
yes,
I looked it up. Yeah. So, you know, this thing about humbling yourself is also a part of what we're talking about here today as well. We got to know that knowing when is a neutral. When you're on, when you're remaining neutral, when you're moving, and the train that you're on. I just dissect that sentence like that because these are components of the statement. And so before I answer it, I got to ask myself, you know, am I neutral in the things that I do? Or if I'm not, maybe that principle of not remaining neutral in the things that I do has made me a better person. Or if I am, has it made me better or worse? And I can evaluate from that point. You know, I remain neutral because I find that it's an easier life for me because I mind my business. And when they be talking about this, that, and the other and moving forward, I just mind my business. You know, I got this job. I've been here 20 years. I'm sweeping these floors. I get my money. I'm just minding my business. I know they want to send me to school because I've been here a while and they want to give me a better way, but I just mind my business. You see? It works for me because I don't have to do nothing more because I have not trained myself to be more. The sad part and the effective part about that is that somebody then watch your stagnant behind stay there. Somebody that admires you watch that stagnancy in you and they mimic in you. So it's a whole lot of people. You know, we see that happen a lot of times in the scared straight jail victims and stuff like that, right? Right?
Yes, sir.
They know they don't want nobody to come behind them with that nonsense. So they try to scare them straight. See, they once was that way, but they're smart enough, they're smartened up enough to know somebody's watching me, and I don't want you to do what I do. So I'm going to check it. And I say that because we can do that, but we're afraid sometimes, again, standing still on that moving train, to move with the mover and to be able to say, my bad, I did that before, but I'm not doing that now because it is a better way. I have evolved. And I think that that's what the lack of standing still in that statement means, because eventually you evolve. And more than likely, you'll be glad that you did. You'll be glad that you did. Because if you don't, you can get stuck in that. Your mind can do some things to you to hold you in place. Your mind can make you a racist individual because you think you're better than someone else. There's no evidence. There's absolutely no evidence to that, because the Creator makes it very clear to us that if I put three nationalities' vials of blood in a row, you couldn't tell me which one belonged to what nationality, because they both the same color red. You see? Because if it was a difference, then somebody's would be green, somebody else would be purple, because, you know, purple is a prettier color. And since it's prettier than red, it must be the superior race. See, you'd be making up stuff like that. So I got purple blood. So I'm going to cut myself every now and then to remind you how superior I am than you, because your blood ain't purple. That one's been done when it comes to racism. Your skin is darker. I'm telling you that lighter skin is more superior. Somebody's selling something and somebody's buying.
He's buying, that's right.
Excuse me, I ain't buying that today. Take that over there someplace else. If I get enough people buying that, then what happens is, subliminally, I teach my offspring that same thing. Oh, don't go over there and drink from that fountain, because you know. See? If you remain that neutral and stop doing that thing, then you stop believing what they want you to believe, and you done taught somebody else that same nonsense. He's superior to me. He what? I don't get that. You know, leave me scratching my head. You know why? Because I respect that individual that told that to me. And I don't want to disrespect him. So, I'm just going to believe that. I ain't supposed to do that. Let me just go on the back of the bus like they told me to. I'm just saying. 646-716-6825. Don't pay me no mind. I'll be going down that road sometime, you know. But I try to make everybody understand the common denominators here are so, so vast. Until we miss the essence of things, paying attention to the ornamentation that people would try to get us to look at the shiny object, you know, and not understand about the planet we live on, the communities that we serve, and what is our true purpose. And then when we look at those individuals who around us who do that, look and see how many people around them were doing the same thing. They thought out the box. They thought about evolution. They thought about the next way that people will be looking at things. And then you hear the sorrow in their voice because no one else will probably see it. When Dr. King says, I know that there's going to be a better day for my people. I may not live to see it. Because he knows that there wasn't enough people waking up at the time to be able to see, as he called it, this dream. You see, and oftentimes when we look at dreams, we think of them as not being real. We think of them as being in a dream state, and we're going to come out and go back to the way we've been thinking. But sometimes they're a wake-up call for us to think about things differently. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, we automatically are going to be moving, a.k.a. the moving train. Love and respect you brothers all, man. You know, we, as I said before at the beginning of the show, we got a couple of events coming up. I think you got something this year, too, as well, Brother Carl, right?
Yes, sir. April the 6th at my school, we have a small little seminar. We got four presenters. April the 6th, 8502 Liberty Road, Randallstown, Maryland, from 1 to 4 p.m.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We appreciate that. And kudos for all the good work you do with children. Thank you very much. Yes, sir. You know, as I said before, I don't need no permission to celebrate greatness when I see it, you know, because I know how hard of a job that can be. You know, just like we try to celebrate mothers on every occasion that we can, because we know what it is to be a mother and to give unconditional love and stuff. You know, sometimes, I don't know, you know, I'm a father, and sometimes my love ain't unconditional. It's like, hey, I'm just so I know my limitations, but I got to give it to the mothers. It's like, hey, it's my way or the highway. but again, those kids of mine that made it through, give thanks for my guidance. And that's it. I'm doing my job.
Yes,
I'm a parent. That's your friend. You can go get some friends someplace else, you know. I can do some friendly stuff with you, but you ain't never supposed to think that, you know, we the same. I'm the same. That's just my opinion on that. Hanshi, do we got anybody else on the calendar that we've been taking a look at that we want to support them with, letting our listeners know what's going on?
I looked at the events and I didn't see anything other than GM Carl Matthews thing on the 6th. Mm-hmm.
Something coming up April, right?
Yes, sir. We talked about that at the beginning of the show, April 27th. Oh. That's a Saturday. We're going to be doing the return. We said don't call it a comeback. But COVID has put us down for 2 years, and we used to do an annual thing for the family of Sanukas, again, celebrating Supreme Grand Master Dr. Moses Powell. But COVID had put a dent in us. And so this will be the first one back since we unmasked, so to speak. And so we hope to see everybody out to that. Again, we have a Facebook presence on that. If you want more information, you can contact me by email, soke318@aol.com. You know, we can just come together as a family. You know, all our events are just that. It says jiu-jitsu on there, but we do a bunch of everything in there. We do a lot of concept training. Training that makes you go, that puts you on another level, that helps you put this with what you already know to make it better. That's a direct quote from my teacher. And I just tend to think everybody usually has a good time when we come out, if nothing else. It's going to be from 12 o'clock to 4 in the afternoon. So hopefully everybody will be there on time, and we do what we make it do. Hopefully we can keep that as an annual event. But that's another thing that we got to talk about on another day, about how we should share in the calendar what it is that we can do, so we know where to, we can almost set up our calendars for January. I do know that it's hard for a lot of people because they don't have that type of event planning where wherever the venue is that they're using won't allow them to predict that far ahead of the time. But nevertheless, we try to support whenever we can and how we can. And since this is the age of Zelle, PayPal, and everything else, support can come in a lot of ways, you know what I mean? So I do understand sometimes when people say, well, I can't make it, this, that, and the other. But, you know, think about other ways you can support. And, again, this is what I mean by thinking outside the box and not thinking that everything is about doing it just one way. Support can be just like what we're doing here right now, just shouting it out. That's support, as opposed to going about it and not saying anything. Last thing is that we've been doing a lot of great work, and GM Carl is also a member of the DOS team, the DOS representative of Maryland, and he's giving me a round of applause for that, because we've been trying to make sure that we support the Deadly Art of Survival as much as we possibly can, because it is, quote-unquote, our common denominator. We can live and be recognized through that magazine. Shidoshi Nathan Ingram is doing a great job. Kudos to him for DOSCOM 4 and Chinatown this year.
Outstanding.
I know that GM Carl beat me there. I was there. I was looking at the car. He on the sidewalk waving at me. Like, I'm like, man, he beat me here. I live here. But it's always good to see him.
The best part is mine, too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, you know, everybody, I'm wishing you good fortune. And until next time, may your good be better. and may you better be blessed. Eye to eye.
Heart to heart.
Heart to heart.
A-I-O.
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 You really don't understand, do you? Hey, man, don't you realize in order for us to make this thing work, man, we've got to get rid of the pimps and the pushers and the prostitutes and then start all over again clean.
Hey, look, nobody's pushing me anyway, okay? I mean, not you, not the cops, nobody, man. I mean, you want to get rid of the pushers, I'll help you. But don't send your people after me.
John, can't you see that we can't get rid of one without getting rid of the other? We got to come down on...